Okay, thank you, worship team, for bringing us into the presence of God. Thank you, Val, for those important announcements. My name's Brett Stark. I'm one of the associate pastors here. I think most of you know me. I'm beginning to know more of you. And I'd like to start just by praying. But just before praying, I just want to give you the direction we're going today. So I want to talk about how essential it is for Christians to gather in the context of the gospel of salvation. In other words, God has this really big plan, and he's really good at fulfilling it. And when Christians get together regularly in different venues, it plays an important role in God fulfilling his plans. And so that's the direction we want to go this morning. So let me pray for us. Lord, we just thank you so much for your presence. And Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence. And we want to exalt you this morning. We thank you that you give us freedom to live for God. That in you, you give us freedom to choose what is right, what is holy and good. You are the Spirit of truth. Holy Spirit, you fellowship with us. We're so thankful for that. You have set a seal of sonship and daughtership on us. You guide us into all truth. You speak what you hear from the Father. You declare to us the things that will come. And you always glorify Jesus. So we thank you. So we ask, Holy Spirit, we ask, Lord, that you would direct our hearts into the love of Christ this morning, into the knowledge of him, in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, for a revelation of your glorious gospel of salvation, the salvation plan. And we ask for a revelation, understanding of the importance of Christians gathering. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Okay, I'd like to start this morning with a Proverb 29, verse 18. And I believe David will get that on the screen for us. So I'm going to read it. It says, "Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction." And so this morning we're talking about a big plan. We need to understand, we need to have a vision, we need to kind of understand, where is God going with all of this? You know, sometimes it's easy without seeing the big picture to get lost in the midst of Christianity and what in the world we're supposed to be doing. I go to this meeting, I go to that meeting, I go on Sundays mornings, and sometimes we're sitting there going, okay, I've kind of lost track of why I'm doing this. Other than I know Jesus loves me, and he died for me, and he rose from the dead, you know, and he forgave me of my sins. I know that, but then we kind of get lost in, why am I a Christian? What am I doing here? So that's why we need a revelation, and we need increased understanding of the big picture, so we can understand the importance of gathering together as Christians in the big plan, because it really is important. The second part of that verse says the people cast off restraint. What that means is we lose our aim. We get off track. We're not quite, like I mentioned, we're not quite sure which direction to go. It's kind of like in the Olympics right now, everyone's watching the Olympics. When you're watching track and field, those runners know exactly where they need to run. Paul said it in the scriptures. He was running a race to win a prize. He knew where he needed to run. And I remember when I was younger, early in my Christian days, I asked that question. I said, Lord, it seemed like Paul knew where he was running, but I'm not really sure where I'm going. So in Olympics, they run and they finish the race. They know just how far they need to go. They know, and they practice it and they get there. And then when we were having kids camp, we had these relay races. And I thought this was a really good picture of how we can be as children of God, we can lose our way sometimes if we don't remember the big picture. So we had these relays going on, and we did our best to explain to these five-year-olds what a relay is. You run down, you touch your hand, you run back, this kind of thing. Well, and some of them got it, but there were some who didn't understand the big picture, and we said go, and they just went shoo, off in a different direction. didn't go to the person they needed to go. They kind of just went off into a different direction. And for me, that was a good picture, like, oh, yeah, when we don't understand where God is taking everything, the restoration of all things, he's got this big plan, then we can, as Christians, we can lose our aim. I mean, we can get busy doing Christian stuff, but we kind of lose track of where it's all going. So my plan today is to keep that before us. And then finally, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. And that's just simply staying true to two things, worshiping God in truth and in spirit. And staying obedient to his leadership. So if we can do that, and my point today is when gatherings of Christians, and one of the gatherings we do here at Grace Point are called life groups. There are also prayer meetings. There are also Bible studies. There are various kinds of meetings where Christians gather together. And the purpose of that is to help one another keep our race going, know where we're running, encourage each other, edify one another, to run the race that God has given us. Now, we all have our own, God has certain areas, assignments that he gives us, but in general, we're all running for the one salvation plan, is to join God in what he's doing. So I wanted to just magnify the gospel of salvation. And the gospel of salvation is really this: the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ, the sending of Holy Spirit, and I want to emphasize that one today because it is him, it is Holy Spirit who helps us to stay true to God's plan. Then there's the second coming of Christ, and then the restoration of all things where God makes the whole earth new. This is the plan of salvation. God is saving people, but he's also saving all of creation. Everything that's been affected by sin, he's saving it. And we get to partner with him in it. And gathering together on Sundays is essential to keep in that vision, to keep running it. So the birth of Christ was the Word became flesh. God became a man. The life he lived among us as a man, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, I love that Jesus is the image of the invisible God and the radiance of God and the exact representation of his being. I love that. But I think something touching my heart this morning is that Jesus is also the highest expression of what a human is called to be. Do you know in God's plan that you will be just like Jesus one day? Okay? In the plan. And I want you to know he enjoys the process. And the process isn't, 4 years at a seminary or 4 years at some Bible school, or that's part of it for some. The process is our life with God from the time we're born again until we die or Jesus comes. So I love that Jesus is the highest expression of humanity. He is our goal. We want to be like him. Death, his death, the forgiveness of sins. He pours it out on anyone who says yes to his offering, his sacrifice. The resurrection, the sure hope of eternal life, that when you die, when we think about it, I don't know if we take time to think of it. When I die, if I die before Jesus comes, I know for sure I will rise. And 5 billion years from now, I'll still be living in a human body. That's fun to think about, isn't it? I like to think about those things. The ascension, resurrection. Jesus ascends. He goes to the right hand of the Father. We have a representative in heaven right now. We have what in Azerbaijan we call a tanush, which is a person in high places that we can turn to. We have the person in the highest place. Jesus ascended and he went on a mission. He didn't just leave to say, hey, all right, good luck back on earth. I'll see you when you get here. It was, I'm sending Holy Spirit. I'm going because, and you'll be really glad that I left because I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live in you. Second coming of Christ is the first resurrection. It's when everyone who's been born again of the Spirit, who has the witness of God, who's put their faith in Christ, will rise. It's a resurrection. We will get our new bodies, resurrection bodies. We will be just like Jesus from that point forward for eternity. And then the restoration of all things. This is something that's been touching my heart this week as I thought about it. In one of the verses in Romans, it says, all of creation is liberated from sin and brought into the glory of the children of God. That's what stuck out to me this week. It wasn't into the glory of Jesus. It is him. He's the one who gives it to us on the front end. And he is a man. He's fully man. He's fully God. But part of the salvation plan that these small groups play a role in is that God is liberating the earth from sin. And he's doing it through us. He's on the front end. He decided, I'm going to partner with my people, and they, with Christ together, we're going to liberate the earth from sin. Our obedience matters, and therefore our gathering matters. So part of the big process of the gospel of salvation is we need to know that the first two commandments play a huge role. In fact, I can tell you today, I know what God's will is for your life. That's usually a question people have. What's God's will for my life? Well, I'm going to tell you today in a very simple way. Okay, God's will for your life is to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what he's called you to do from the time you're born again as a Christian until you die or Jesus returns, and to love your neighbor. So it's the two. That is God's will. And in this big picture of the plan of salvation, if we know that's what I'm supposed to be doing from the time now until the time I die, then I have aim. I'm not going to be like the kid who just ran off and didn't really know where he was going. I'm going to be like the Olympian who has a goal. I know that I'm to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's just think about, what does that mean? It means what we do with our words. It means our thought life. It means giving him our energy, our time, our resources. When in all the things of life. It also means following the leadership of Holy Spirit. We follow the Word of God. The Word of God roots us and grounds us. The Holy Spirit never contradicts the Word of God. And we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit as well. And when we set our hearts to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others, that is the track that we're running on until we die or until he returns. It's a good plan that God gives us. He gives us aim. And so how do we do that together is what we want to talk about today. But I did want to mention, that in the process, it's important that we have the fear of the Lord. I think about this not every day, but occasionally. But one day, I'm at the end of my race, I'm going to stand before Jesus, not for hell and heaven judgment. I already know I'm in Christ. I have the witness of the Spirit, and you do too, whoever's been born again in here. Okay, but I have that witness in me, so I know that at the end of my days, I'm going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to evaluate me not based on heaven or hell, but did I love him? Did I run my race to grow in the love of God all my days? Okay? Doesn't mean doing it perfect all the way, but it means staying consistent in running the race and keep going until we finish. So consistency is key there. So it's important to keep that before us, that we as Christians, I wanted to read this verse to you. It's 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Paul is talking to Christians here. Okay? This isn't something we have to be afraid of if we're running our race to love Jesus. It is something we want to fear the Lord in because we want to honor him. It's like anyone here had an annual evaluation at work. Has anyone ever had one of those? Okay. Where you go into the work and they're basically telling you what your performance for the last year was, right? So at the end of our 70 to 90 years on earth, we're going to be evaluated like that by Jesus. What was your Christian life like? And when we think of it on those terms, then suddenly going to gathering with other believers and growing in the knowledge of God and worshiping him and praying together makes sense. It makes sense. We're going, oh, that's why you want us to pray. Oh, that's why you want us to get together. Do you know that life groups here at Grace Points, it's not a program. It's a principle. It's a principle that God gave us in his word. It's something that he wants us to do. I'm going to read you a verse about that. He says, "For where there are two or three," this is Matthew 18:20. "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." It's a principle. He's saying, when you get together, I'm going to be there with you through Holy Spirit, whom I'm sending you. Now, I like to look at it like this way. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they have perfect fellowship and relationship together. I mean, for eternity past until now and forever, they've always communicating, and when they communicate, I imagine it this way. God the Father edifies Jesus the Son. Jesus the Son edifies the Spirit. The Spirit edifies Jesus. And, you know, you have this constant building up. Not that God needs to be built up. Don't want to give that picture. Okay? But the idea is that's what God wants us to do when we get together. It's essential that Christians continue to get together because Holy Spirit in me has something to say to Holy Spirit in you in that gathering, and vice versa. And so we have this give and take. We have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit happening in our midst as we share, as we pray together. I just wanted to give a quick example. I was just in a home group a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I don't remember now, but recently. And in the home group, someone shared from the verse that greater is he, or how does that go? No, greater is he that lays down his life. What is it? How does it go? I can't think of it right now. Say it out loud. No, it's not the one I want. It's not coming to my mind right now. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down your life for a friend. And one of the people, it wasn't me, one of the people in the group shared that it was a revelation for her at some point that before, when Jesus said this, he hadn't died yet, which meant all of us were his enemies. But he said he laid down his life for friends. And when she said that, that ministered to my spirit. And I go, wow, I knew he's my friend, but I just never thought of it that way. So that was a fresh new insight for me. And that's what happens in the fellowships, in when Christians get together and gather together and talk and pray together. So it opens up our understanding of how important it is to get together and do this. Because God has a big plan. And just imagine those little things happening over time. And like I said before, it's a process. You know, if you're doing that consistently, gathering with people, being encouraged, reading your word, I'm not knocking the quiet times, the secret place with God. That is essential as well. But today I'm emphasizing that we need to gather as Christians. And when we do that together with the give and take of the knowledge of God and the Holy Spirit and praying for one another over a long period of time, the Bible says we grow and become mature in Christ. So, and we become more and more in line with the greater salvation plan that God has been doing from the beginning. In Philippians 2, 12 and 13, what are we doing here? Okay. It says in Philippians 2, "Therefore, my dear friends, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." I said this once to a friend some years ago, and she rebuked me, saying, "Well, you know, we're not saved by works." I said, "Well, that's not what it says." Okay? So I do want to have a qualifier here. We need to work out our salvation, and we do it together, mostly. I need my own time with Jesus. I really do, and I love that part of my relationship with God. But I was at a church service years ago, and I remember, and when I was worshiping, the Lord highlighted a person on the stage to me, and the Lord said, "Brett, do you know you need him?" He was singing something at that moment that was touching my spirit. And it was a revelation to me. It stuck with me. Just those little phrases. It stuck with me that I need the body of Christ. I need what that person has inside of them by the Holy Spirit. They have something that strengthens me, that can encourage me, to help me to keep running my race. So I did want to put a qualifier out there that we're not working to get our salvation, but it's talking about working out in our lives what Jesus has already given us by grace and through the Holy Spirit. So in this internship, or in this 70 to 90 years that we have in a sinful context, we get to work out our salvation in the sense of growing in understanding and growing in doing what the word tells us to do. I like to look, Jesus said we need to worship him in spirit and truth. I said that earlier. The truth tells us the what, but the spirit is the one who empowers us to do it. So we need both. So, and in that, we, as we're walking in obedience with the Lord, we're working out our salvation. I thought it was important to point out that earlier when I talked about the death, resurrection, ascension, and then the sending of Holy Spirit, etc., it's important to understand that the gospel message didn't end when Jesus resurrected. Because sometimes I think we stop there, and we forget that his mission was to send the Holy Spirit to us to empower us to live for God. That was the whole point of Holy Spirit coming. We needed the truth. It told us the what, but we had the what through Jesus and all the books of the Bible. But then we needed Holy Spirit to come to give us the power from the inside out to actually do what the Bible tells us to do. So that brings us to a text that I wanted to talk about today. To just kind of hone in a little bit more on small groups or life groups, as we're calling them here, or the way I want to say it is Christians gathering in small groups, because there's various kinds. I wanted to share this verse. It's from Romans 8, verse 2 and verse 4. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That the righteous requirement of the law, which is the Word of God, might be fully met in us who don't live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, this is Paul speaking to the Romans, the church in Rome. Now, I wanted to look at that first part here. It says the law of the Spirit. That is talking about or speaking of the rule, okay, the lordship, the governing. And so part of our growing and maturing in gathering together is we're learning to exercise that muscle of allowing Holy Spirit to actually rule in us, where we listen to Him to give us a certain word maybe to a person at the right time, or He's speaking something into our own lives. Okay, so we learn to yield, I've heard that word used in the past, to the rule of the Holy Spirit. He didn't come to give us some good advice. Holy Spirit came to rule your life. You have no life, as Paul said. I no longer live for myself, but for Him who died for me. He had no more life for Himself. His life and ours is to be for Jesus, wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. So to do that, we have to understand, what does it mean to allow the Holy Spirit to rule my life? Second part of that phrase says, the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. We have been set free. The rule of the Holy Spirit in us has set us free from sin and from death, from the wrath of God. But I like to also look on the other. It has set us free to obey God. We have been set free to make right choices, to make good decisions. We have been set free by the Holy Spirit to actually obey and do the Word of God more and more and more over our lifespan. That's an amazing reality. Because in a lot of conversations that I've been in, often the context or the focus is what I've been saved from. But the fact is you've been saved unto many glorious things. We're not just saved from sin through repentance. We're saved to be righteous and to walk in that righteousness. We're saved to be holy and to increase in our holiness. We're saved unto doing good works. We're saved to have good speech in our lives, to increase in our speech in our lives, so that we'll get better, where we're building, edifying instead of tearing down or whatever. Okay, so we're free to obey God now. Paul talks about that in various places. We're free to obey. We've been set free by God. And I like the verse in, I don't have it on the overhead, but Paul says in Romans 8, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh. You have been set free, and you're no longer obligated to the flesh. He says here, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. This is part of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength in that big vision. Okay, but I want to tell you today that you are not obligated to that temptation, to that feeling that comes. It's part of the sinful nature that we have certain feelings, but the Bible says, I've set you free and you're not obligated to it, which means there is a way out, which in the Bible also tells us that. We have a way out of that temptation. We have that feeling. Something's happening on the inside, and sometimes we feel like, well, I feel it, I gotta do it. No. Jesus says you don't have to do it. You're not obligated to that feeling, to that temptation anymore. I do want to just speak that clearly. that you can be free from all kinds of wrong feelings. And that's part of the loving God process. So I want to emphasize that God loves the process from the beginning to the end, and he loves working in us and setting us free little by little over time. Okay, God is not expecting anyone in here to be perfect by tomorrow. He already knows, he knows right where you are, and he's leading you through a process towards working out your salvation, growing in righteousness, growing in holiness, growing in the love of God, growing in love for people. So the rule of the Spirit has set us free to live for God. In Romans 8:5, it says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires." When we're meeting, when we have small gatherings, we can be intentional about setting our minds. That's what that verse tells us right there, that we can actually set our minds to what the Spirit desires. I have an argument with somebody, someone in my life once in a while about habits, okay? Starting new habits in our lives. I am convinced by my own experience that I can choose to start a habit. I can do it. It doesn't always work every time, but over time, I can get that habit going. Okay? So it's the same thing with setting our minds to do what the Spirit desires. It takes effort. We actually have to engage with God and say, "Help me to set my mind during this life group to hear what you're saying. Also, help me to, if you have something that you want to give through me to someone else, help me to set my mind to hear from you and do it." So it's an intentional thing, and it takes effort. If I want to have a good relationship with my wife, I have to put effort into that relationship. If I don't, the relationship won't be so good. Okay, so I want we have to set our minds to do. Let me give you a few more verses on that. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is." What God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The renewing of your mind, again, it's a process. We can see that Christians gathering together over a long period of time, that's why Paul says, don't stop gathering together, you don't know how important it is. Okay, we need to get that revelation that over time, consistently doing it, the Bible says God renews your mind. You begin to think more like Jesus. You begin to respond more like Jesus. You begin to see things more like Jesus. You begin to understand different doctrines and different aspects of God's word better over time. Ephesians 4, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds." It's a battle of the mind. Again, we can choose to set our minds on things above. We can choose, but it takes practice and effort. I can choose to play the piano. You wouldn't want me to do it. But if I did it long enough and kept practicing, I could probably eventually play a song. Okay, so it's the same idea. With God, we have to practice with him. We need to get with him, and we need to do it in gatherings, when we get together. That's when we practice Christianity together, in life groups, in prayer meetings, on Sunday mornings, when we're in our discussion groups, or when we're in the worship time, whatever. All of these meetings are part of that plan. God is using it to bring us to the place where he can use us to fulfill his plans. And by the way, I just want you to know, we all have a part in all of our roles count. So whatever small group you end up being in, life group, prayer, worship teams, whatever it is, it all really counts. But the thing is, this, you know, we hear a lot of terms out there, you know, God has a great plan for your life. And I, in some ways, I believe that's true, but I believe it's true because God has great plans. My part may not always seem all that exciting, but my part really counts. And my doing it matters. My actual obedience to God, my part matters. So it's really important to understand that not many people will know the name of Brett Stark. And I don't care. All I want to do is be obedient to God in my part. Find out what's my place and do it the best I can for the next how many years God will have me on this earth. And I love that it's in a sin context. Does anybody love the sin context? I know that sounds weird, but we have an opportunity to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength in sin, in the midst of a sinful context. What an opportunity to glorify the name of Jesus. That's why we need to get together more, encourage one another. So, got a little excited there. In order for the truth of God's word to be effective in our lives, so at this point, we've got to set our minds on things above. But in order for the truth of God's word to be effective in our lives, the truth must be governed in us by the Holy Spirit. We have truth, but we've got to be governed by God. I found that word very interesting when I was preparing. So when our minds are governed by the Spirit of truth, the result, the Bible says, is life and peace. Doesn't mean just peaceful circumstances. It means you have the life of God in you and the peace of God in you, regardless of the outer circumstances. That's what it means. Now, I looked up the definition for the word govern, because I'm a little dull. I have to look up definitions. So the definition of the word to govern is to control, direct, or strongly influence the actions and conduct. I'll say that again. To govern is to control, direct, or strongly influence the actions and conduct. This means that if the Spirit of truth governs our lives, or another way to say it, that Jesus is Lord of our lives. I think we've all heard that one, right? If Jesus is Lord of our lives, or if Holy Spirit is governing our lives, it means he is to control, direct, and strongly influence our decisions, our actions, and our conduct. We are dependent on him. We are leaning on him. We're asking him, God, in every decision of life, why not? Small or big, what does it matter? I mean, personally, I don't pray whether to eat a hamburger or a hot dog. I don't. But I'm talking about the things of life. Going, if I want to go to a university, or is this the right career for me, or whatever. We can go to God and ask him for direction. But also on the inner things. On the inner things of life is what I'm really focused on today. We can go to him and have him govern us. God, how's my speech? How's my speech life with people? Am I building people up? And if I see, the Holy Spirit's really good, he can show us things really fast. He's really faithful about that. And that's a good thing, by the way. Because, again, we're leading to all sin being pushed off the earth. And we're a part of that. And we cooperate, we partner with God in the process by allowing Holy Spirit to rule our lives and say, hey, you know, Brett, your speech needs some tuning up, in whatever area. Or your thought life, Brett, has it's gone off into a wrong direction. So all of that is playing in the role. And when we meet together, I don't know about you, but I've been in a lot of small groups over the years. And when I'm meeting with brothers and sisters who are sharing, and I'm listening, and I'm giving, and there's this give and take, then I hear the Holy Spirit conviction easier in those times. Both conviction and encouragements, both come. I love conviction. I don't like the feeling of conviction on the front end because that's my pride. But conviction leads me to repentance. And repentance leads me to the rule of the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage us that when we're gathering together, that's the part of the process that God is doing. Okay, I have one more verse I wanted to share. So Romans 8:6. So life groups are a place where we do Christianity together. I heard that phrase in one of our life groups just a little while ago. I liked it, so I put it in. Life groups is a place where we do Christianity together, where we can grow in it. Again, keeping the race in view. Where am I running? We have our individual races, but we have to run together. That's the way God formulated it. I need you and you need me. You know, most of us have heard the scriptures about the body. Every part of the body matters, and every part of the body is dependent on another part of the body. So it's reality. That's the truth. So in summary, God has an amazing salvation plan that includes the forgiveness of sin. Okay, it includes the rule of the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus ascended to send Holy Spirit to live in us so we can live for God. That's a glorious part of the gospel, that God didn't leave us to fend for ourselves. He sent us Holy Spirit to be in us. If you don't have that witness of God's Spirit in you, if you know that, hey, I've been around the church for a while, or I haven't been, but I don't think I have God in me yet. Well, if you're in that place, I highly encourage you to say yes to Jesus today. And you can talk to me after the service or any of our deacons, which you wouldn't know who they were if you're new here. But anyways, you can talk to someone, and we can help you out and pray with you. So life groups are a place where we encourage each other to set our minds on the desires of the Spirit, to say no to the flesh, to allow the Spirit of God to govern our minds so that we obey His Word. As we do Christianity together, Jesus has promised that with Him as a brother, we're partnering with Him, that He's going to liberate the earth from sin in His timing. But I think what excites me about that is my little role, what I do in obedience to God, plays a part in that big plan. That, wow, I had this little part, but it was part of the cleansing process, both in me and through me. So I think I will end there. Let's pray. And then I have just a quick announcement. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for the gospel of salvation, Lord, in all of its parts, in all of its beauty, in all that it is, Lord, and that you have invited us and brought us into it through your Son, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you come and dwell inside men who say yes to the sacrifice of Jesus to make him Savior and Lord. We're so thankful to you. Lord, we ask that you will help us to continue to get a greater understanding of the gospel of salvation. Open up our eyes. Help us to see the big picture, Lord, so that we can run our race with aim. And I ask, Lord, that you will strengthen us in our Christian gatherings, Lord, in life groups, in prayer meetings, in worship meetings, in Bible studies, in all those things, Lord, that have an important role. They're essential for the advancement of the gospel of salvation. We thank you for that. And we ask that you would strengthen us in our understanding, Lord. And also, Lord, would you give us that desire in us to go and begin to be part of the family here at Grace Point or wherever you would have us, Lord. But we would fellowship in gatherings of Christians in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name. So, the announcement is in a little while, we're going to be launching life groups officially again. There's already one ongoing, except they're out with COVID right now. But it will be ongoing again. in about a month, we'll be launching life groups. And it'll be starting in September. So we're encouraging you to begin processing. If you're married, begin to talk with your husband, your wife, and say, how can we do this thing? Is it workable? So, you know, we have to plan. I know I have to do it with my wife. She plans my life usually. But anyways, we need to plan and get together and begin thinking, how can I get into gathering with other people in my church and do this running the race thing to win the prize before I have to stand before Jesus at the end of my life? I want to love him. So I want to encourage you. Gennaro is sitting back there. That's my lovely wife. There's a sign-up sheet. You're not giving your life away right now. We just want to know if you're interested. We're not saying anything about times or places yet. We'll offer those in the weeks to come. But if you're interested, please go sign up, because then give us your contact information, then we can contact you and begin to talk to you about those things later. So don't wait. Get signed up today. I can't imagine a better thing you could do this morning. All right. So I think, are we going to have you come up and sing the last song? Or no? Sorry. I'm learning. Oh, so sorry. I forgot about something. So sorry. Not yet. Yeah, so sorry. Yeah, I mean, you can come up if you want. I don't care. I have learned over my life, I am not a linear person. I mean, steps are confusing to me. Anyways, so what we would like to do for about 5 minutes, 5 to 8 minutes, is just to take the ideas that were presented today, the gospel of the essential, or the need to get in the Christian gatherings, how essential it is in the big picture of the gospel of salvation. Anything that God may have touched your heart with in your groups, if you're an individual at a table, I just encourage you to jump in with someone else so you can have discussions for about 5 or 6 minutes. And then we'll have a worship song to finish us off.